The eyes of Texas are upon you. All the live long day.
It's the Longhorn Game Day post-game show, presented by Allstat Beer.
Texas gets the win, and they reclaim at least part of their destiny. And they control their destiny again, which is nice. Welcome to the Texas postgame show. Kevin Dunn here alongside Brad Kellner. Brian Fitzpatrick is Fitzgerald. Jeez, I did it again. Brian Fitzgerald is back there taking your calls. And he always gets a kick out of that. I always give him a different Irish name every week just to see if we can keep him. Keep him alert. He is definitely alert. We are too. We're going to take your calls, 447-3776. Specs text line, they're already coming in, 512-337-3776. Texas, you heard Tom Herman say it, kind of overachievers this year. And it's nice to be on that side of it as a fan, as now they're 8-3. They do control their own destiny again. All they have to do is go beat Kansas in Lawrence next Saturday at 11 a.m., and that's not going to be completely easy. Completely easy. But it's something that Texas should be able to do. And, Brad, it's been a long time. I was at the game with you and also Trey, and it was fun to see your reaction. You said, I've never been at this stadium as a fan and felt like this before.
KD, that was a Texas-sized ass-whooping.
You can hear it in your voice, man.
By the Longhorns.
You were loud.
I was loud. Apologies. And the entire crowd was loud. Heck of an atmosphere tonight at DKR. Sellout. Everybody showed up, and it was a loud crowd from start to finish. That definitely had an impact on the game. But heck of a performance by this Texas Longhorn football team tonight in a huge game. You know, we've been talking about it on all the shows all week long, KD. This is one of the biggest conference games that Texas has played in the last 8 years, if not the biggest conference games that the Longhorns have played in since 2009 when they won their last Big 12 championship. And senior night and all the emotions, and Iowa State coming in on a 5-game winning streak, and seemingly the Cyclones playing with house money right now. A lot of pressure, a lot on the line, and the Texas Longhorns absolutely deliver tonight. An impressive performance on both sides of the ball, and then to lose your quarterback, Sam Ellinger, at halftime, and to still find a way to hold off a very, very talented, very good Iowa State team and dominate this game for all 60 minutes. Just an impressive all-around performance by this Texas Longhorn football team. And yes, it's great. It's a great thing to control your own destiny. You get to play the worst team in the conference, and all you got to do is find a way to beat them, and you're going on to Dallas for the Big 12 championship game.
It was complete domination, and the numbers bear that out. Definitely with Sam going out late in that first half there and then not playing in the second half, kind of had that feeling, can Texas hold on to this? And is the defense with Montgomery back, especially in the second half, are they going to have any problems? And that just wasn't the case. I mean, Texas gave up 62 yards on the ground. Who would have thought that? Only 148 yards through the air for Purdy. And look, they got to this freshman, and we've talked about it, all the shows have, and we've had a lot of fans call in, and certainly call in now if you'd like, and say, look, if you're going to get beat, and there are some personnel problems and injury problems, right, with this Texas team, and even with all the healthy personnel, Todd Orlando was really having a problem adjusting to it, or at least getting it to work, go after him, right? Bring some pressure. And Texas, I guess, had been doing that, but it hadn't been timed well, and it had been picked up. Man, they got to this kid. They got into his head, too.
Yeah, they flapped the unflappable. And
right.
That's one word that's been used to describe Brock Purdy in his first 5 games since taking over at quarterback for the Cyclones. Unflappable. No one's been able to figure out how to stop this kid. He's had the fourth highest passer rating in the country since taking over for quarterback at Iowa State. The dude has been nails for the Cyclones, and Texas brought the pressure. They made the freshman work. They got into his head. They made him run around. They made him scramble. They hit him a lot. 6 sacks for the Longhorns, but a bunch more knockdowns and hits and hurries as well for Texas in this game. And I'll tell you what, man, people... The crazy ones out there have been calling for Todd Orlando's job, but everybody's been calling for, okay, coach, show us what you got. Like, we saw some incredible stuff from you the first year and a half you were the defensive coordinator here in Austin. The last 3 weeks, Texas had given up an average of 38 points a game, an average of 558 yards per game. This is time. This is money time right now. And Todd Orlando came up with an incredible game plan. They pressured Brock Purdy. They stopped the running game. And this defense holding the Cyclones to 10 points, really just 3 points until garbage time, and only 224 total yards of offense. An unbelievably good performance all around by this defense.
You're right. It really is 3 points just in garbage. I mean, you get the garbage time touchdown, and Texas got sloppy really late, but they were very clean in this game.
Is Daniel Young in the game?
I don't know.
He's not a senior. This isn't one of those things where you just want to put the senior in. Yeah, didn't matter.
I know it didn't matter, but Texas was really clean in this game. And look, you had two teams that had similar identities in two programs that are trying to do the same thing, and they're trying to be more physical than the other team. There are some guys who will clean up some piles now on both these teams. But Iowa State was definitely hitting. I mean, that was, you could feel how hard, especially in 2018, they were letting these guys really, really smack each other. And Texas was more physical. I think Charles Omenihu said on the postgame show that Yancey McKnight had challenged him and said, guys, you guys just have to be tougher. And they all took it and swallowed it. And that is something that I'm not sure would have been the case a year or two ago.
No, Iowa State was known for being physical, right? Under Matt Campbell, that's kind of been their identity.
But also taking the criticism from your strength coach and actually challenging. And,
absolutely.
You know.
And for Texas, look, against Oklahoma State, against West Virginia, they got pushed around. Even at times against Texas Tech, they got pushed around. It didn't look like they were the more physical team over the past 3 weeks or a month or so. And tonight, against the most physical team in this conference this year, the Iowa State Cyclones, the Longhorns were there, hit for hit. And I'll tell you what, the biggest difference in this game for me, KD, of course the pressure was huge on Brock Purdy and getting into his head and pressuring him and making him make some bad decisions. Just the way the Longhorn defense tackled tonight.
Yeah, it was so much better.
That's been a problem. Yes, it's been an academic, to quote Mack Brown. Like, the last 3 weeks, there's been a tackling epidemic once again here in Austin, Texas. And it scares you to death. And it scared me to death going into tonight's game. I wasn't sure how this Texas defense would respond after that big fourth quarter comeback they allowed against Texas Tech and, of course, the two previous weeks. But an unbelievable tackling performance by everybody. The linebackers had a great game. I thought Anthony Wheeler played his best game of the season.
He did.
Caden Stearns had a great game despite being questionable coming in. B.J. Foster, in lieu of Brandon Jones, who did not play tonight, I thought B.J. Foster played a heck
Chris
of a
Brown.
Game as well. Chris Brown, an interception. He was all over the field. Almost had a second interception.
Yeah.
All of those guys played well. You mentioned Omenihu. The defensive line got pressure. Everything worked. And for the first time in a long time, you feel really good about a Texas win, right? Wins are wins, and you're happy with them, and all that counts in the standings is a W or an L. But to not have a one possession down to the final seconds type of game feels really, really good if you're a Texas Longhorn fan. And once again, KD, this team controls its own destiny to get to the Big 12 title game.
Yeah, it's been a little while since we said that. I mean, I know we said it earlier this year, and you can say it early every year, but to be this late and to have that happen, Texas was more physical. They ran, something I really felt like they needed to be more of a concerted effort to, because you can run. They were pulling the guards and pulling linemen a bunch and getting to that second level. You've got 2-3 down alignments that if you can get to that second level and pick on the Iowa State 6 or 7 defensive backs, 3 are quote-unquote linebackers, mm-hmm. look at their weight, then Texas can get to them, and they did. Calvin Anderson said that after the game. He said, we wanted to push some guys around and throw our weight around, and it worked.
46 carries tonight for the Longhorns, right? What's that Tom Herman magic number? 40. The Longhorns were able to eclipse that with 46 carries, 179 yards on the ground tonight. Another good performance from Trey Watson, who has just been a godsend for this team as a graduate transfer from Cal.
It's the longest carry of the year.
Today, 39 yards that he had. That's nice. And then Keontae Ingram, you saw a little bit from him. Did suffer an injury. Looks to be a little bit banged up. We'll wait and see whether or not we see Ingram next Saturday against Kansas. Next Friday.
I know. I did that too. Sorry.
But, you know,
Brad and I are almost falling asleep here.
It's a struggle.
And because I think a lot of our energy was expended in that game. And that was a hell of a game. I only went to one this year,
awesome,
and I enjoyed every second of it. Being with you guys was great, but I thought the crowd was really damn good. Just pregame in general, they've turned that into really a fun day and fun night.
Yeah, the crowd made an impact tonight for sure. One play that sticks out for me, Iowa State had 4th and 4 about the Texas, 25-yard line or so, and the Cyclones were going to go for it down a couple of scores.
Yeah.
And there was a false start because there was so much noise. Iowa State didn't hear the snap count. One of their linemen moved. The Cyclones end up sending out the field goal team, and they don't make the field goal. And that was just a case in point, a great description, Exhibit A, for what you saw from this crowd making an incredible impact. About the flashlights. Did you see the flashlights? Or
No, I was into it, but I had, you know, I had to my right who had his head down and was reading me, because I was going to start to do it, or at least take a picture of it, and he goes, hey, I gave you the ticket. Come on, man.
Trey Elling belongs in Philadelphia because he would boo Santa Claus.
He really would.
He boos anything and everything that's happy. Everybody was having such a great time at DKR tonight.
We're winning!
And Trey Elling is angry at the world for anything and everything. KD, we have to talk about it. We don't know much. Tom Herman didn't give us too much in the post game, but Sam Ellinger, if there is one negative. Now, tip of the cap to Shane Bouchel, comes in and goes 10 for 10 in relief for Sam Ellinger, 10 for 10, 89 yards and a passing touchdown. He was great coming in off the bench. I was scared as all hell. I think a lot of the fans at DKR was scared. Just the one time we've seen Shane Bouchel this year was against Baylor, and he did not perform too well in that contest. He did a phenomenal job in relief of Sam Ellinger tonight.
Perfect.
Absolutely, 10 of 10. But that's a cause for concern. It's an AC contusion, according to Tom Herman. The same shoulder, that throwing shoulder. X-rays, MRIs came back negative, which is a good sign.
Yeah.
But we'll obviously wait and see. A little bit of a shorter week with that game being on Friday. So Sam Ellinger's status is we'll see for next Friday. But outside of that, everything was good.
Yeah, it's up in the air. You're right about that. That is one that you're walking away. And as I'm walking to the car, I'm thinking about what we're going to talk about on the post game. And I thought, man, that's going to be the one thing that does, if there is a cloud, you think about that. Tom Herman did say, if you're just joining us now here on Texas Post Game, it's Kevin Dunn. It is Brian Fitzgerald.
Fitzmagic.
And it is. I know.
Let's call him Fitzmagic.
I think that's why I also do that, is because he is the thing, and he's also Fitzmagic, too. And also Brad Kellner. But as I'm thinking about it, and I'm thinking that's going to be the one thing that does weigh over it a little bit. But Tom Herman said that it was a different type of hit, where he got really driven in the ground on the first AC injury. This one was more of a direct hit, and he said Sam felt different. He didn't say he felt any worse or better, so it was somewhat vague.
So we were sitting behind the Texas sideline, and Trey and I think you noticed this too, but we noticed on that play where Sam Ellinger took a hit the end of the first half, it was a third and long. Ellinger took off and ran for himself, ended up a yard shy of the first down, and Dicker hit the field goal at the end of the first half. But we did see, similarly to the injury he suffered against Baylor, Sam Ellinger was kind of holding his arm, wasn't really moving it. It was kind of drooping down a little bit as he was jogging off the field after that third down. So to me, it looked like a very similar injury. The exact same, you know, it's an AC injury, so I guess the same part of the shoulder for Ellinger. We'll obviously wait and see. Ellinger had to miss one game. No, it was a bye week, so he was able to come back. But, you know, it's probably safe to assume that he wouldn't have played if the Longhorns had a game during that bye week. We'll wait and see what happens on Friday. Not to take Kansas lightly. I mean, we know what happened the last time Texas played a game up in Lawrence. We'll never forget that as much as we want to. If it does have to be Shane Bouchel, that is still a game that you can win with Shane Bouchel as your quarterback up there in Lawrence next Friday.
Bring your defense and your run defense.
Exactly. If the defense plays like it did today, if the running game plays like it did today.
Who's your boy who went off? Buka?
Puka Williams.
Puka.
Yeah, Kansas did put up 40 on Oklahoma, so maybe that's something the Texas players can look at and be like, all right, you know, this might not be the KU team of old. The Jayhawks beat TCU. They almost beat K-State. They're a 3-1 football team. They're still really, really bad. But if you're Texas, like, it's going to be KU senior day. It's the last game for their coach, David Beatty, who's already gotten fired, but for some reason is finishing out this season. KU wants to beat Texas. Everybody likes beating Texas, so the Longhorns have to come out prepared. They have to be ready to play. They have to have another big week of practice. But it's a damn good feeling. This is an ideal situation. All you got to do is win one game in this conference. You want it to be against the Kansas Jayhawks, and that's what Texas has to go out and do. And if they find a way to do it,
yeah, if there's
we'll be in Arlington,
I know.
Baby.
If there's video in here, you'd see two permagrins. We may be tired, but
yeah, like Facebook Live going.
But
or something,
it's nice to have Texas playing like this. And once again, I'll say it. I reiterate what Tom Herman said. This group is, they're overachievers. They are. And they've come together. We've seen them come together as a team, and seeing some of those seniors leave tonight. I mean, every year there's going to be a couple of seniors you think of, but the way the program's been the last couple of years, it's almost, you know, you're looking to replace talent, right? Because there hasn't been enough. And there were definitely some guys that we're going to miss, and that were a huge part of whatever happens from this point on in this program, you look back and you got
to
thank them.
Yeah, tip of the cap to all the seniors. They made a huge impact in tonight's game.
All right, 447-3776. 447-3776.
You guys only want to talk about
Dwayne.
Losses? What is this?
What are you doing, Dwayne? That's the other thing. We don't get a lot of calls with wins. You can text us to Specs text line 337-3776. We will take those calls up next. This is the Texas Postgame Show here on the Austin Radio Network.
Five receivers, including Trey Watson, out of the backfield. And no one in the backfield other than Sam Ehlinger. Jerod Hurd shifts in motion from left to right. Second down and goal from the Iowa State 7. Ehlinger looked to the sideline. Sam now ready for the snap. Has it. Back to throw. Ehlinger or run. He'll take off. Ehlinger to the goal line. Touchdown, Texas. Sam Ehlinger hesitated only a moment and then darted it in to pick up his 10th rushing touchdown of the season. And the Longhorns strike first. This is a 40-yard try. Good snap and hold. Kick on the way, and this kick is good. So Iowa State is on the board. Texas limits the Cyclones to a field goal. And with 4:47 remaining in the first quarter here in Austin, it's Texas 7, Iowa State 3. Third and four for Texas at the Iowa State 19-yard line. They'll bunch three receivers on the open side of the formation. And one, Johnson on the left. Shotgun snap, back to Ehlinger. Pressure coming. Sam flings it out right side. Caught by Ingram. To the 10. To the 5. Keontae into the end zone. Touchdown, Texas. Ingram out of the backfield. The play goes for 19 yards. And the Longhorns lead by double digits. Blitz coming now, delayed blitz, pass, thrown over the middle, and it's incomplete, or was it intercepted? Picked off by Chris Brown. That's intercepted. Longhorns have it at the Iowa State 36. Brown, the sophomore from Elif-Elsick, closing in to get the pick. This is a 28-yard try from the right hash mark out of the hold of Ryan Bishevsky. A snap to come from Justin Mader. Good snap and hold. Dicker, the kicker, is good. Field goal through. And with 5:50, no good. They had the cannon went off, and that one official looked at the other. That's no good. That field goal is no good.
He hooked it around the upright.
Longhorns will send three receivers out wide right, one on the short side of the field, split left. Trey Watson in the backfield, offset to the right side of Sam Ehlinger. From the left hash mark of the Cyclone 18-yard line with 21 seconds to go in the half. Ehlinger from the shotgun on third down. Sam with the snap and back to throw. Looking. Ehlinger dodges a tackler, and he's going to take off and run. Ehlinger, 15, 10, 5, and then he lost the football down at the 4-yard line. I think he got back on it, and it should be first and goal Texas, depending on the spot. Now the clock is down to 5 seconds, and the Longhorns, the officials stop play, but the clock is down to 5 seconds. It's at the 5-yard line. Longhorns had to use their final timeout because it was not enough for the first down. Cameron Dicker on the try, a 22-yard field goal out of the hold of Ryan Bishevsky. Justin Mader to snap it. Good snap and hold. And Dicker's field goal try is good with 2 seconds remaining in the half. The score is Texas 17, Iowa State 3.
Texas improves to 8-3 on the season. What a game for the Horns. Sam Ehlinger, 12 of 15 for 137, one touchdown. You heard it there. He did leave, but Shane Bouchel came in 10 of 10 for 89 yards. How about that? They ran.
Sugar Shane.
Now, Trey Watson had two more carries than Keontae. You upset about that?
Not as much anymore.
Okay.
Not as much anymore. I mean, I would
it's probably
still
the
like
four carries. You're upset about.
I would still like, yeah, for Daniel Young, yeah, right. I couldn't quite figure that one out. Four carries, one fumble. That's not the ratio that you want, right there.
We did have a text who said Tom Herman said the reason he was in there was because of Keontae had the injury, and I guess Trey had something.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. Like, it was a 3-touchdown game.
Yeah.
Or a 2-touchdown game at the time with a minute and a half to play. So as long as it wasn't a scoop and score, nothing too bad could have happened there. But that's what you sometimes get from your third string running back. And that right there is why he's the third string running back. And you know what, KD, before we get to the phones, we got a couple of you guys online to get to. This hasn't been the case for the last 8 years because of what Texas has been. But at the end of the day, all the chips were down. Ball was kicked. Texas showed that they're Texas, and Iowa State kind of showed that they're Iowa State.
Oh, don't go there.
Come on, man.
Don't go there.
It's just how it was.
Don't go there.
Not taking anything
away. That'd be too easy. That's too easy.
Not taking anything away from this performance, because this is a different Iowa State Cyclone football team. There's no doubt about it. But
I will say this, and this is where I was definitely wrong throughout the week, kind of looking at it and thinking I thought it was going to be a tighter matchup than it was, and thank God it wouldn't. I'll take that one in a heartbeat. But the reason I did is because, like I said earlier, both teams are trying. I mean, we've seen Iowa State, so you see they look good, right?
Sure.
But we said it early on this postgame show this year that this feels like it's going to be very much a matchup type year, like you would get in basketball. You say, were they going to get to the Final Four? I don't know. Let me see if you have the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
You said they're a Final Four type team. Let me see what the matchup is. And it's real week-to-week matchup. And these two same identities trying to be more physical came together. And also the bigger Texas cornerbacks, stronger Texas cornerbacks matched up with obviously Butler and a couple of the other bigger guys they have, and also helped out in the run game. They also made some adjustments. You saw more Chris Brown. There's a lot of things that came into it that to where Texas, you're right, matching up, I think they are that much better than Iowa State.
Yeah, look, I picked
head-to-head.
I picked Iowa State to win this football game, so I'm not going to sit here and act like I had a beat on what this game was going to be. How about this, though? The Texas cornerbacks. Iowa State receivers not named Takeem Butler had only 4 catches tonight.
Mm-hmm.
The Texas defensive backs, the Texas defense as a whole did a phenomenal job tonight. All right, let's get to the
Butler's
phones.
Butler's hands are going to be questioned.
Yes.
That and the speed will be the thing for him at the next level.
No doubt about it. Let's get to the phones, 447-3776. If you want to hit us up, we've got Garrett on the line first. What's going on, Garrett?
Hey.
Yo.
Kevin Dunn. You are a motorboating Lou Holtzen son of a gun. You Lou Holtzed us on this team, this Iowa State team, all week long. And Brad is right. They came out and they were Iowa State again.
That's hilarious.
The same thing with Syracuse, dude. Your boys... handled their business.
They did. Now, I did take Notre Dame to win that. I just didn't like the hook.
Yeah.
But there was definitely some motorboating going on. I'll play the Lou Holtz card all day long, Garrett.
Yeah, I really like the energy of DKR. It was pretty awesome. I've listened to the last couple games on the radio, and then I had to get DirecTV Now to get this one so I could get Longhorn Network. I'll be canceling it this week. It was a great game to watch live. I'm glad I got a chance to do it, but the crowd made a big difference, and the defense came and reacted to that, and it made a huge difference, and they played like they should have been playing for the last few games. So it was good to see that. It's a good feeling to be 8-3, and knowing that we got Kansas to go, and then Big 12 to hopefully get into the Big 12 title game. So
yeah.
It's a good feeling to be a Texas fan right now.
It is, Garrett. I completely agree. Thanks for the call, my man, Garrett in Round Rock. And yeah, the atmosphere was special. I mean, I'm not going to say 90 Houston here because it wasn't, but it was loud. It was packed beforehand. The tailgating in after. I mean, the whole thing was. It's at the level where it always needed to be for the type of program it is.
It's one of the best atmospheres I've ever been a part of at DKR. And look, I think there were a lot of Iowa State fans inside the stadium, and you didn't get to hear them tonight, which might have been my favorite part of the atmosphere. And I'll tell you what, KD, your English is way too good to be compared to Lou Holtz. I can actually understand what you're saying right now, so I'm not going to make that
spitting on you either.
Hey, I do want to mention this. We have to mention this. I'm sorry. I'm the negative one. I'm the pessimistic one at this station. So I have to say it.
Because someone, I thought I was that guy. Have you?
I've taken over.
Beautiful.
I've taken over.
Take
I mean,
it.
Trey is in life. I think I am with sports. I think that's where we're at right now. So if you're just joining us, if you've, I don't know, if you missed the game, you missed any of the broadcast, look, if the Longhorns beat Kansas next Friday, they're in to the Big 12 championship game. They will play the winner of West Virginia, Oklahoma. That game is also Friday night up in Morgantown. Now, there is the pessimistic part. There is a scenario. If Texas were to go out and somehow lose in Lawrence For the second straight time, Texas can still find its way to Dallas. Nobody wants to think about this, but let me give the scenario just in case somebody asks you about it while you're at work this week. If Texas loses to Kansas, they need Iowa State to beat Kansas State next weekend. That's in Ames, home game for the Cyclones. And they need Oklahoma to beat West Virginia. So if both of those things happen, Texas can still afford a loss and find a way to Arlington for the Big 12 title game. Obviously, we don't want to think like that. The easy scenario, win and you're in. Texas needs to take care of business up at KU.
Yeah, and I think it would go to point differential. Mm-hmm. You heard Craig talking about that.
Yeah,
Texas has that.
Craig is too smart for me. He was given too many words and numbers and things.
It's too late for that, Craig.
I'm going to spare you the details. But that's the scenario. Should Texas... I can't even believe I'm saying this, but should Texas find a way to lose that game up in Lawrence?
You know Kansas better than I do. I've seen just a little bit of them, and I'll watch them this week. But is there anyone? I mean, I know they had some vets on defense, and this running back's pretty damn good.
Well, they've got Les Miles. Is he going to start coaching next week?
I hope.
Les Miles, that'd be something if that actually happens. I'm pretty excited
about
that deal.
I'd love to see him run his vanilla crap with that talent.
Yeah, great. Kansas has one really good offensive player. He's a true freshman. Puka Williams is his name. Yeah, P-O-O-K-A is what he goes by. He rushed for 262 yards on 15 carries tonight against Oklahoma. Now,
okay, so that's
Oklahoma's
3A
a high school,
defense. I got
Oklahoma's
it.
A high school defense right now. But he's really good. He's the best KU offensive player. And the Jayhawks have this kid, Joe Dineen Jr., who is about to lead the Big 12 in tackles for the second straight year. He's really, really good defensively. But look, Kansas is 3-8. Two of their wins came against, one of them was against Rutgers, the other one was against an FCS team, which, okay, they beat two FCS teams.
I was about to say, that's also Rutgers.
So this should be a game. Texas is going to be a double-digit favorite. They should be able to take care of business. And honestly, with what you saw from this team tonight, and really what you've seen from this team at most points all year long, there's no reason to think that they won't take care of business. They've handled just about every challenge that's been thrown their way. And this team's been on a mission since day one. Find a way to get to Dallas. Find a way to be in the mix to make the Big 12 title game. This team is there. And all they got to do is win one more game, and they'll be playing up in Arlington.
Now, definitely think the biggest question this week, obviously, is going to be about Sam. We have a text coming in here. I can't read that name on the air. Am I the only person who worries that Sam is always going to be dinged and missing time? This is 2 years he's been seriously injury prone. I think when you have a power spread runner like Sam, it's same thing Purdy's going to have to deal with, right? That you're always worried about that. So yes, or so no, you're not the only one.
No, obviously the hope is, and this coaching staff has had conversations with Sam Ellinger, you know, slide, try to get down as much as you can, but Ellinger's a competitor. And on the play he got hurt tonight was a third and long, probably third and 13. And Ellinger had picked up 12 yards, was trying to lower his shoulder and
near the
reach
goal line
forward.
Too.
Yeah,
I
reach
mean,
forward
it's...
to pick up the first down. You know, that's what you want from your quarterback. You want somebody to go out there and try to pick up every yard and keep the drive going. And a touchdown in that situation would have been huge for the Longhorns at the end of the first half. Obviously, it didn't matter. But that's the risk you run when you have a power running quarterback like Sam Ellinger. So hopefully this injury's not serious. MRI, x-rays came back negative. Hopefully Sam Ellinger is good to go for Friday, but this doesn't seem to be a long-term type of deal. But yeah, that's just how it's going to be. When you got a quarterback who takes as many hits as Sam Ellinger does, all it takes is one. Doesn't matter if you're injury-prone. If you just get hit in a certain spot at any given time, that could cause you to miss some time. So we'll see.
And that is one of the good things if they do face Oklahoma, if Texas does get to the Big 12 championship game and face Oklahoma again. Yeah, if you deal with that offense, but the defense isn't going to hurt you.
Oh, it's really bad.
They
it's
don't
really
hit
bad.
Enough to hurt any AC joints.
No. Oklahoma fans, I've never seen OU fans like as not confident as
oh,
they are
great.
Right now.
It's great.
Because of the defense. It is. All right.
Let's get back to it.
Back to the phone lines. 447-3776 if you want to hop on with us. We've got Tyler calling from the ATX. What's going on, Tyler?
Hey, guys.
What up?
I am just leaving DKR, heading south on South Congress. Just got my Whataburger in hand. I had to kind of face some crowds thicker than the Iowa State defensive line getting that Whataburger. But, yeah, I've got a smile on my face so wide right now, and I know you guys have the same. I'm so happy about this Texas team this year. Kind of a loyal fan, just been sticking it out over the past couple of years, waiting for this thing to come to fruition, and I'm just so happy. I want to give a shout-out to the Texas team, the seniors, obviously. Want to give a shout-out. I mean, never thought I'd do this, but shout-out to OSU for taking down West Virginia last year. I watched that this earlier today. Watched the last week game from Aruba and was just so shocked when I saw that end of that game. But what do you guys think about Kansas scoring 40 points on OU tonight? What was up with that?
Well, thanks for the call, Tyler. We appreciate it, man. And
Whataburger,
glad you
man.
Got some Whatabeezy in your system. That's probably where I'm headed after this deal. A nice patty melt to celebrate the W. But
I went Chick-fil-A at the stadium.
It was pretty
better
cool.
Better options for food. Much better options.
Yeah, they got the food trucks now. Man, yeah. Tip of the cap. All the players, the coaches deserve a ton of credit for tonight, 100%. But Chris Del Conte, man, just the game day atmosphere tonight was awesome.
And winning comes together.
Absolutely. Because
you could have all that, and they could be 4-7, and I would have been at the game with you and said, yeah, they've done a lot of stuff to help that environment out.
Yeah, but it would have been 70,000 people.
At the end of the day, the reason the grin is here right now is because of what I was watching.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And we were watching the end of that West Virginia-Oklahoma State game together at the tailgate.
Yeah.
And they had TVs out there.
Shout out to Michael.
Absolutely. Our man Mike for having us out at the tailgate. And that was awesome. That was great to see. And that was big for both teams, right? Both teams needed Oklahoma State to pull off the upset to help their chances to get to the Big 12 title game. But this kind of felt like a de facto Big 12 championship. Once again, not taking Kansas lightly. They put up 40 points against Oklahoma. They're way better than they have been the past couple of years. And we all remember what happened 2 years ago when Texas traveled up 35 to Lawrence. But after that result came in, after Oklahoma State got the win, knowing that, okay, all Texas has to do is win out at this point, this kind of felt like a de facto semifinal for the Big 12 championship, a play-in game, if you will, to get to Arlington tonight. And the Longhorns took care of business. And apparently, I was curious. I asked you guys while we were sitting together at the game. I said, do you think Tom Herman told his players that Oklahoma State beat West Virginia? You think before the game, you know, pregame, doing a Hoosier-style
locker room
speech?
What did I say to you right away?
Said no.
Just from coaches that I've talked
right.
to. I can imagine the coaches, they would look at me like Major and say, what are you, hot? No.
Well, apparently.
I know.
Apparently, they were showing the game on the Jumbotron, on Godzillatron, during warm-ups. So there were Texas players who saw the final minutes of Oklahoma State pulling off the upset against West Virginia. So the players knew. And that makes this win even more impressive, because that added more pressure to this game tonight. And Texas delivered. It was a complete performance, both sides of the ball. You know, the 24 points on offense isn't the most impressive thing, but they were smart with the ball, and once Sam Ellinger got hurt, really the game plan, the MO, was just control the clock, and the Longhorns did that with the running game. Even Shane Buechele had a couple of zone read keepers, picked up a couple of first downs on his own with his legs. It was just an all-around impressive performance, and what can you say about this defense, man? Todd Orlando showed why he's one of the highest-paid defensive coordinators in all of college football.
Mm-hmm.
He's faced a lot of criticism over the last month, and rightfully so. We've given him criticism. Fans out there have given him criticism as well.
Yeah, but giving up on him was too much. And for the people that did that, you take this as a life lesson.
Yeah.
That and the people that wanted Sam gone after the Maryland game, right? Like, life lesson, there needs to be a little bit more sample size.
Cooler heads.
Especially if there's other sample size, which is good.
Right, exactly. Which we've seen from Todd Orlando more often than not since he's been the DC here at the University of Texas. So he earned his paycheck tonight. And just the tackling. This week on Tuesday, we heard it from Coach Herman. We heard it from Coach Orlando. A full padded practice on Tuesday, which is not what they normally do during the regular season. Normally just go with the shells and the shoulder pads. They went full pads. They wanted to practice some tackling this week in practice. And it worked out.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked out, and you saw a huge difference in the tackling for this entire Texas team at all three levels of the defense, and that was huge in this victory tonight.
Yep, and also give McKnight credit for getting, and he can be that strength
yes.
guy, but it's both those things. The angles were much better. The tackling was much better. They were just crisper. They moved some guys around, and it worked, and they were clean. Actually, both these teams were clean in terms of penalties. Three penalties for 20 yards for Iowa State, three penalties for 25 yards for Texas. You had that one fumble late. Texas was able to get a couple turnovers, but the reality is that 11-7 weren't shook up, 15 was.
Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. The combination between Sam Ellinger and Shane Buechele, 22 for 25 for 226 and two touchdowns, picked up some yards on the ground as well. You mentioned the Longhorns had three penalties, but only one until like the final 2 minutes of this football game. The only penalty Texas had for first 57, 58 minutes of this game was on a punt return. It was a Chris Boyd holding call on a punt return that ended up going out of bounds anyways. That turned into a 94-yard Texas Longhorn touchdown on the third offensive series of the game that made it 14-3. So the penalty didn't even matter. And that's another thing that's kind of been a bugaboo for Texas over the past couple of weeks. Been shooting themselves in the foot a little bit too often with the penalties. I will credit Big 12 officials for the first time in forever for letting these guys play a little bit.
Yeah.
That was good to see. And the Longhorns play discipline. They played within themselves, and they found a way to get this one done.
And credit the replay people for actually replaying stuff that should have been and getting it right.
And the biggest stat for me, KD, is the time of possession.
Yep.
I mean, Iowa State, there are very few teams that care about time of possession in this conference. You think about West Virginia and Texas Tech and Oklahoma State. They just want to score at will. They don't care if it takes 10 seconds, 5 seconds, 1 second, whatever. They want to score touchdowns as quickly as possible, put points up on the board. Iowa State is one of those teams that wants to control the clock. They want to play low and slow. They want to keep their defense off the field, attack you with the ground game, and win that time of possession battle. They weren't able to do so tonight. Texas, 35 minutes and 13 seconds to just 24-47 for Iowa State. That was huge. The Longhorns more physical, and they controlled the ground game and controlled the clock tonight.
BK, you talked about the one drive, 10 plays, 94 yards. That was very impressive. Took five and change off the clock. And then the one that started it, I mean, the nine-play, 80-yard drive. They really pieced those together, and we're seeing this offense no doubt grow.
We taking a break?
Yeah, you can take us out here, brother.
Let's take a break. We'll take a couple more calls.
Arizona took a break tonight.
On the other side, yeah, Washington State, Mike Jeez. Leach, the Pirate, putting it on Arizona.
This was a rough night for me. I'd be shocked if I wouldn't beat the pluck.
The higher-ranked teams getting it done today across college football for the most part, outside of Stillwater, Oklahoma. Shout out to Taylor Cornelius and the Pokes. Helping out
got
the Longhorns
done, man.
Tonight.
Getting Thank
it
you,
done.
Boys.
Texas got it done tonight, 24-10 over Iowa State. The Longhorns improved to 8-3 on the year, 6-2 in Big 12 conference play. And most importantly, Texas once again controls its own destiny to get to the Big 12 championship game in Dallas. A win at Kansas next Friday, and the Horns will be playing in Jerry World 2 weeks from today. All right, we'll take your calls, 447-3776. One more segment to go. It's the Texas Longhorn postgame show. Kevin Dunn, I'm Brad Kellner. It's brought to you by Altstadt Beer, and you're listening to the Austin Radio Network.
Snap was low, but it's down. Kick on the way, and the kick is off the upright. No good. It hit the left upright, and it's no good. So the Longhorn defense did some bending, but they certainly did not break. And Iowa State comes away with nothing. Buschel snap, turns, play action. Shane to the right side pass. Caught by Humphrey. Inside the 15. LJ breaks a tackle. Say goodnight to it. Touchdown, Texas. Little Jordan Humphrey shook off a tackle and took it home. 27 yards for the score. Turns, hands to Montgomery again. Outside, Montgomery will reach the end zone for the touchdown. With a minute 33 to go in the ball game, Iowa State scores its first touchdown. Here comes the onside kick for Iowa State. Goes straight up the middle, and Beck fields it and hops on it. Andrew Beck fielded like the Longhorns' outstanding shortstop on the baseball team, David Hamilton, scooped that up. Boom. Yeah. Ball game right there. Sam Ellinger is going to be okay. His list is questionable to return after banging up that shoulder on the final play of the half. But Buschel did a fine job on in relief of him. He'll turn and hand it off to Danny Young on first down. And down he goes. And the ball may have come out. Iowa State, one of the Cyclones has come away with it and is running down the field. Now, the center judge did not move. It was picked up and run down the field by Willie Harvey. And the officials talking about it, I believe they had ruled him down.
I didn't hear a whistle.
They're still talking about it right now.
Oh, my goodness.
Here's the call.
Ruling on the field is a fumble recovered by the defense. Defensive player recovered on the ground. It's first down, Iowa State.
Kemp out of the shotgun, has the snap. Back to throw. Kemp scrambles left, under pressure. Joseph Osai backed out. The ball loose, scooped up, and the Longhorns have it. That will ice it. The ball came loose. Osai knocked it loose. And the senior, Charles Omenihu, with a fumble recovery to end this one here tonight.
Welcome back to the Texas Longhorn postgame show on the Austin Radio Network. I am BK Brad Kellner alongside Kevin Dunn, our man Brian Fitzgerald, a.k.a. The Thing, behind the glass, playing you those great highlights. Craig Way, of course, the voice of the Longhorns on the call tonight for Texas's 24-10 victory over the Cyclones of Iowa State. The Longhorns now 8-3. On the 2018 season, 6-2 in Big 12 conference play, and well, they get a win on senior night for the first time since 2013. That ends a bad streak.
Yeah.
And the Longhorns have a chance to get to the Big 12 championship game for the first time since 2009 if they take care of business next Friday against the Kansas Jayhawks at 11 o'clock a.m. kickoff. Yes, 11 a.m. Thankfully, we've avoided those for the majority of this season, but we will have an 11 a.m. Black Friday kick for Texas and Kansas. If the Longhorns win, they will be in to Jerry World in the Big 12 title game.
I know Lawrence at 11 has been tricky for a lot of teams.
Scary things happen in Lawrence at 11 in the morning.
Opposite intimidation as Tiger Stadium in Baton Rouge.
There's
no one's there.
So few people.
It's so quiet that maybe you can sleepwalk past them a little bit, right? That this should not be a problem this Saturday. The players and the seniors that have gotten these guys together, I mean, a lot of this is senior leadership. I expect those guys to have these guys ready, be up, no horsing around at hotels, and let's get ready to go. Speaking of that, one of the main reasons I thought Texas would have a problem in this game is Brandon Jones. Brandon Jones doesn't, you know, I mean.
Yeah.
Nice job kind of figuring that out a little bit.
Absolutely. I mean, these safeties have matured a ton. You feel really good about the future of this Texas defensive backfield with what you've seen all year from Caden Stearns, but B.J. Foster coming on, playing a heck of a game tonight. We've seen good things from Anthony Cook playing cornerback the past couple of weeks while Chris Boyd or Devontae Davis have dealt with injuries and suspensions. But those two safeties tonight in place of Brandon Jones did a phenomenal job. Did a phenomenal job. Everybody on defense did a heck of a job, and the scheme was great from Todd Orlando. They blitzed. I think Orlando's been listening to the station. They brought a little bit more pressure tonight.
Man, they did.
And it worked against the true freshman Brock Purdy. Texas Todd Orlando, the first defense that was able to do anything against Brock Purdy. I mean, he's looked like a Heisman type of quarterback. He's been getting Baker Mayfield comparisons for what he's done over the first 5 weeks of his Iowa State career. And tonight, he looked like a high schooler going up against a really good college defense.
You're exactly right, BK. The only film I saw, and it was limited, he'd only played in five games heading into this, and they were 5-0. It was at times, if you could apply pressure and get to him, then he wasn't nearly as accurate. That's the case for, what, 98% of the quarterbacks that I've ever played?
Any level.
But especially as a freshman. So the fact that, but my question was, could Texas get the pressure? Look, they fixed a lot of things in 1 week and answered a lot of questions on defense, and the matchup helped out.
And they didn't fall for the pump fake. Brock Purdy loves the pump fake. Pump fake Purdy, I like that. And he tried
Ian
it a
Boyd,
lot.
By the way.
Well done, Ian Boyd, tip of the cap. Good dude. They didn't fall for the pump fakes tonight from Brock Purdy. The defense stayed disciplined tonight, and that made a big difference. All right, back to the phone lines, 447-3776.
Oh, no, this is UT George.
Let's go to George.
He only calls when he's right.
Uh-oh. What's up, George?
What's up, George? Good win, brother.
I told you yesterday.
I know you did. You did.
I also told you Oklahoma State was going to probably beat West Virginia.
You should have been in Las Vegas. What the hell were you doing in Austin? You would have made some money. What are your thoughts on the game, Georgia? Because you expected Texas to have some answers defensively, and they did.
Well, yeah, the defense was lights out. I mean, Orlando did a great job. You know, when we tackle, we're good. When we don't tackle, we got problems. And he corrected the tackling, and the few adjustments he needed to make, he made at the halftime, and we rattled that freshman.
Yep.
That freshman, and I mean, he threw two balls tonight that he was lucky to get back.
Yeah.
When he was falling down throwing, and I mean, yeah, we made that kid, and that crowd, he had never seen that before. He probably hopes he never does again. I'll hang up and listen.
George, we appreciate it, brother, and very good football knowledge there.
Yeah.
About if you tackling. Tackle,
if you tackle, you're going to win. If you don't tackle, you're not going to win. No, he's right. Look, having fun with George, but the defense was incredible. And the pressure was great on Brock Purdy. I mentioned this earlier, but just the tackling at all three levels, the defensive line, the linebackers, the secondary, phenomenal job tackling. Obviously, David Montgomery not playing for a half of football makes things a little bit easier.
It does.
It makes things a lot a bit easier, if we're being honest. But still, even in the second half when Montgomery was back into the football game, very sure-handed tackling by this Texas defense all night long, holding Iowa State to just 210 yards of total offense. And it says 10 points on the scoreboard, but it was really three points.
Yeah. No, which is just baffles me.
Me too, man.
The over-under of this thing, I thought it was probably going to be pretty close to that. It was around 45, 46.
I thought it'd be over for sure.
Well, I took the over, and so that's one of those where football is great that way, isn't it?
Vegas,
I
mean, Vegas knows what it's doing.
Huh? Vegas definitely knows. George should have been out there in Vegas. Quickly, before we get back to the phone lines, Anthony Wheeler is a guy you mentioned earlier and a guy that we've had analysts come on and people that really break it down and said, yeah, you know, he's stiff. I mean, he's just too stiff and maybe not the perfect defense for what you're looking for with his skill set and all that. Was really happy that senior had that type of night.
Absolutely. The senior showed out tonight.
They did,
just about every single one of them made
Gary Johnson,
impact Boyd. In tonight's game. Amanda Hugh was big tonight. Yep. Hager had a sack in this game for the Longhorns. P.J. Locke made a couple of big plays, broke up a pass as well. Great performance. Gary Johnson was all over the field tonight, as he's been really his entire Texas career. All of those guys, heck of a performance from the seniors in this class.
Brad, we kind of talked about it as we're watching it. One thing that, and there's been so much talk, and rightfully so, about three down alignments, four down alignments, and, well, if Jeffrey McCulloch is down there as the fourth guy and is handing him down, well, even outside of the hand thing, I don't care about the hand thing, just who that player is. He's a linebacker, so that would still kind of be a three down alignment. They kind of, at times, ran some 50 schemes, which is, it's really the 52 defense. So think of your typical three down guys, but then you've got outside linebackers who are standing up. And we saw that, and he messed around with some of the talent there. Mm-hmm. It felt good to see Todd feel comfortable again.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Wasn't overthinking things.
Right.
It felt like.
And neither were the players.
No.
They played faster. Caden Stearns, whatever wall that was, whether it was health or whatever it was, he looked a lot faster.
Absolutely. All right, let's go back to the phone lines, 447-3776. Christian is up next. What's going on, Christian?
Hey, man, I got two questions for you. One, what was the bigger beatdown, tonight's game or Tom Herman's wife wearing that okay, cool hooker t-shirt?
What, any more questions? Yeah, let's fire away the second one.
Yeah, the other question, looking ahead, assuming we take care of business against Kansas, what's sweeter for us, going 2-0 against OU or getting redemption against West Virginia?
Thanks for the call, Christian. The game tonight was a beatdown, just a Texas-sized ass-whooping is the way I would describe this thing. But how about Michelle Herman? Is there a more ride-or-die wife in the world?
I love it.
Herman wearing the OK Cool Hook'em shirt tonight, giving Coach Herman a hug as they walked off the field together after the victory. That was pretty damn cool. Tip of the cap to Michelle Herman for that one. And for me personally, look, I love beating Oklahoma. I think every burnt orange-blooded Texas Longhorn fan loves beating Oklahoma, but there's something about revenge, man. The way that West Virginia game ended, the fact that it happened here at mm-hmm. DKR, and they came in and the horns down celebrations and all that stuff, I want to see those fools again. I know Texas can beat that team.
No, they're punks if you're coming from our angle.
Yes.
And they may say the same thing. But no, you guys came in and you were punks, and I want another fight.
So I would love to see West Virginia. I want that shot at redemption. I think Texas can win that football game. I'd feel pretty good. I'd honestly feel, as bad as Oklahoma's defense is, I think beating a team twice in 1 year is a very difficult thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And with Kyler Murray, who's a Heisman contender, that offense is still very good for Oklahoma. Plus, I like that game being played at the Cotton Bowl at all times. But the shot at redemption against West Virginia, I would love to see Will Grier and company again up in Dallas, should the Longhorns get up there.
You get both air attacks and those receivers on... You get both of them on turf, so it's going to be tough either way.
Yeah.
But look, I've been all over Oklahoma's defense and all over it, meaning making fun of it, but also right for the last couple
yeah.
years. And I was surprised Stoops came back this year. I knew the talent wasn't that good. It's a 3A, 4A defense that isn't going to be playing next Friday in the high school playoffs. That's who they are. With that said, that offense is so damn good, and still with who Texas is. Speaking of Ian Boyd, one of the things he talked about, we had him on the show this last week, was the back end still, as talented as it's going to be, it's still not exactly what Orlando needs in the Big 12. I'll take West Virginia. I know they still spread you out and throw, make those adjustments on the run. You stop the run against them, I think Texas beats them.
How many points do you think your alma mater, your Westlake Shaps, would put up against this Oklahoma defense right now?
Well, it depends if Cade Klubnik's a quarterback. No.
That guy's the future.
Yeah, he's the future. No, and that's nothing against Taylor Anderson, who's really damn good. Yeah, they'd probably put up 21.
Amazing.
I'm kidding. No, don't text. That's not being real there.
All right, back to the phone
lines. It's a bad D1 defense, though.
It is. They got a new coach. They got rid of Stoops. And look, I don't want to put too much on Ruffin McNeil. It's tough to...
You could have brought in Belichick. It would have been better than this, but it's still going to be... Yeah.
Tough to make a whole lot of changes mid-season and drastically turn things around. That is a bad Oklahoma Sooners defense. We'll wait and see, though. The winner of that game will play Texas if the Longhorns can take care of business up in Lawrence next Friday. All right, back to the phone lines. We've got Alec calling from the ATX. What's going on, Alec?
Hey, guys. I had two things. Number one, I've got some young kids, so I don't get to go to games very often. In that fourth quarter, with that Journey song they had playing and all the cell phone lights going on, is that happen regular? Because that was just awesome, man. I'm not the guy to pull out the cell phone and take a picture, but I just felt like I had to at that point in time.
I get you, Alec, and Brad and I were in the same boat. I don't know if that happens. Brad, you can answer that. Trey Ellen can definitely answer it. I got the sense that maybe it has happened before. Trey was the... was the pooper in our party there.
Oh, yeah. Well, Trey hates everything. Trey hates Christmas.
I liked it, Alec.
No, I mean, it was badass. I mean, it was awesome.
It was badass.
It was badass. And the other thing that I was going to say was, it was the first time that I walked out of the game in 3 or 4 minutes, and I don't know how long, feeling confident.
Yeah,
that we were with the game. Oh, my God. I love what we got going on.
Well, think about this, Alec. Thank you for the call, and I do, too. The overview. And, Brad, you say you've been negative. You've been positive about the over. Like, this was a stock. You were going to buy it, right? Or were you out on the Texas program?
No, I was in on the Texas
program.
Okay,
all right.
It would be
just
one more
week
year.
To week
sure.
in the minutiae as we're getting there and the journey. And, you know, why did you stop on the way to South Padre and stop at the subway for 20 minutes and go use the can? You know, I mean, it's all about as you're getting you. We know what the destination's going to be. We at least hope we know what it's going to be. Mm-hmm. It's about how you get there, how quickly you get there, and how efficient you are. And I think that's where all of us have been critical.
I know the plan is to go 1-0 every week, and Texas needs to beat Kansas to get to Dallas. But you know what I'm thinking of, KD? I'm thinking of going 2-0 over the next 2 weeks and going to New Orleans for New Year's for a Sugar Bowl, baby.
Whoa.
How about that?
Look at you. Look how excited you are.
I got a smile on my face. I don't like it.
So talking with someone as we're heading into the game, the last game that he had been to was Tulsa. And I said, boy, you must feel a lot different right now heading in than you did leaving that game. He said, absolutely. BK, final thoughts here. We got about a minute left.
Heck of a win for the Longhorns, man. They were dominant in all three phases tonight. Todd Orlando earned his paycheck. Credit Shane Buechele. We didn't credit the offensive line enough. They were great tonight as well. Just an all-around phenomenal performance. Coaches, players alike. Hell of a job right now by the Longhorns, and it's good to be a Texas fan once again.
Man, amen to that. It is great to be a Texas fan. Brian Fitzgerald, in all seriousness, great job back there, man. You've done a great job all year long and definitely today. We're going to be back on Monday. All the shows will be talking about it. Thanks to everyone that texted in on the Specs text line. If you gave us a call, we appreciate that. I'm up now. I was feeling tired. Now I'm up. Kevin Dunn 01, if you want to tweet me for the next hour, I'll talk Texas football with you. BK, probably not. You guys be safe out there. Have a good one. Hook 'em.
Shane with the snap. He'll put down the knee, and that will do it. A command performance tonight for the final home game of this 2018 college football season. The Texas Longhorns are one win away from a trip to Arlington and the Big 12 Conference Championship game. The final score tonight from Darryl K. Royal, Texas Memorial Stadium. The Texas Longhorns 24 and the Iowa State Cyclones 10. Texas, with the win, is now 8-3, and they are 6-2 in Big 12 conference play. Iowa State falls to 6-4. They are 5-3 in Big 12 conference competition. Lots to celebrate, and work ahead. The Longhorns know they are one win away from playing for the Big 12 crown.